Ah, the power of the voice, yes. I suppose there's two things into play here. It's the power of the voice, but it's also the power of the word. I, in a previous life, was in advertising. Trust me, I'm in advertising. And I remember someone once said to me many years ago, there are different types of words. There are soft words and there are hard words. For example, love. Love is a soft word, but it's a word that people associate with. Hard words, hate, on the opposite side of love, is a hard word. And you learn in this game how to use your voice to say all those different words. Many people take their voice for granted. Or is that granted? We're going to talk this afternoon with Louise Muller. Hello, Louise, how are you?
Hello, good afternoon, Brent.
The voice, how important is the voice, Louise?
Oh, well, it's massive. I'm listening to you talking about the words there. And, you know, we know so much about words and which words are important, which ones aren't. And we completely ignore vocal tone. And it's dramatically important. And certainly when people are emotional, you know, it takes much more importance than the words.
It does. Do you know, as a teenager, first getting into radio many years ago, plus 45 years ago, I remember being told when I was reading an ad how you say words, and if you use big in a word, you've got to make it sound big. And if you use the word small, you've got to make it sound small. And there's the right way to say the word love and the wrong way to say the word love and all those sort of things. The finesse of being able to use your voice to communicate.
Yes. And, you know, it's about the airflow. So if you were saying big, it would be the accent on the vowel, keeping the vowel long, you know, and then small, small. Keeping the vowel, the A, really small within that sentence. Huge impact.
Can I ask you, how much do you think that this has changed over the years, the use of the voice, the importance of the use of the voice?
Oh, the importance has never changed. Our awareness of what to do has absolutely died bit by bit by bit. Music schools are saying that students' awareness of voice, they're measuring it as they come into the schools, and it's getting lower and lower and lower. You know, to the point where things like vocal fry, there's a phenomenon called vocal fry. And vocal fry is where you withdraw the air so badly that the vocal folds don't work. And it sounds like that. That's vocal fry. You know, vocal fry didn't exist 20 years ago, and now everybody's doing it. And it's a malfunction of the vocal folds. It is it's dysfunctional. It's not healthy. It sends messages of not wanting to be with people, not being around. And, of course, the movie stars do it all the time, and so we imitate them.
Have you heard of the Kardashian drawl?
Yeah, they do vocal fry all the time. Okay.
dear, we hear it all the time, don't we? We do.
We do, and people do things without knowing it. They put their tongue down their throat. Steve Bratz used to do that, Premier of Victoria, put his tongue down his throat. Clenched teeth, people speaking through clenched teeth, blocking the air. You know, I had a call from someone who was in a professional world, and they were going to lose their job because they were told that they had no empathy in their voice. And, you know, we don't know about this field, and so this poor person has absolutely nowhere to go. They just say, I don't know what to do. And yet, if you think about it, all the emotions have corresponding vocal tone. So empathy is the continuation of air. Air continues to flow. And also escaping air. People think that you care when there's extra air coming out.
Give me an example of empathy. Go on.
Yes, so flowing sentence where the air comes out. You know, Brent, I think that's really important. escaping air, flowing air. You know, I was listening to a spiritual program on the radio the other day, and the lady did that. Plus, as well, she would sing in her she would speak in her singing range. So she was actually speaking in her singing range with the flowing air and then escaping air. And it sounds enormously caring and spiritual.
What about shrill of high tones? I was mentioning earlier, you know, these days the screaming of young children on the beach with their high tones.
Well, there's danger. You know, you know, it's danger. And when people suddenly change their tone, like, I don't know why you'd say that. And we suddenly change our tone like that. That, you know, that can be a sign of defeat. You want to keep your airflow basically just moving around your fundamental frequency if you want to be seen as trustworthy.
It's got here, increase your ability to motivate and influence those around you. How can you advise people to do that with their voice?
Yes, well, you know, one of our biggest challenges for 51% of the population is that 51% of the population are women. And as women, our voices are an octave higher than your average male voice. And yet, the perception of leadership, of being a thought leader, of being someone influential and of authority, is a low voice. So, you know, what do we do? Because in the old school, people would say, well, then, as a woman, you need to make your voice lower to be a leader. Well, you know, that's ridiculous. Because in Australia in particular, we love authenticity. We want to be our authentic self. So we can't do that. So what I'd suggest is not necessarily to take the voice lower, but just to be very aware that you don't take it higher, you know, that we don't take it higher, as we often do if we have a visual learning preference. You know, why would you ask that, Brent? You know, and we do those ridiculous high tones that are unnecessary. So to watch out for that, to keep the voice low, to keep the throat open so that there's no blockage. You know, when we have blockages of the throat, when we put the tongue down the throat or we close the mouth or we get tight air, or we block the air as we speak, people read deceit and protection. So you want to have the throat open, the air continuing to flow, keeping around the fundamental frequency of your voice. So what, they're things that I'd suggest.
What type of voice do people most like to hear?
Oh, they love to hear voices. The hypnotic voice. The voice where the air comes out. You know, it's all about, what we think about voice is you say, hear voice. Voice actually touches us physically.
True.
Because what happens is the air comes out of your body and it vibrates against the skin of those around us and it massages those around us. Therefore, the voice people want to hear is the voice that caresses you, the voice that continues the massage, the one that we trust that doesn't just break and you never know when it's coming back again.
Very true.
And people do that. That's what Tony Abbott does. He breaks sentences in the middle of sentences in unusual places. And it undermines trust.
It does.
It does. You know, pauses, we don't want ridiculous. We talk about pause. A pause is just a breath. It's got to be an intake and giving out of air. It's not just holding your breath. So, you know, we want to hear people alive. We want to know that they're breathing low in their body in a relaxed and non-stressed way. We want to hear the body performing at its best.
I've got to go to the news, so I've got to say thank you for talking to me this afternoon.
Oh,
it's been lovely.
Thank you for listening.
It's been lovely. It really has. And I hope you have a Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, that's right. Upwards inflection.
dearie me. Thank you for your time this afternoon, Louise. We'll talk again.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye. That's true. Some of the things she said is true, isn't it? I'm looking at Mike here. Hello! Talk like that all the time. Be seen as authentic, making it easier to lead others. That's what you have to try and do, they say. But in this game, painting pictures for people because they can't see you, but they can only hear you.